Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 48. I'm Janice Henning.
I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon.
And I'm David Lanciulli. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. It's been a while since we've been together here on the podcast. So it's nice to be back with all of our listeners.
And yeah, took a little break over the holidays. Hope you did too.
Yeah.
And we're lining up guests. You're going to hear less of us and more guests this year.
So. Yes. Yeah. And actually, I love how, just to build on what Michelle said, we hope you had a break over the holidays. One of the things we're going to talk about is, you know, how to create an environment where you can maintain or manage to retain your fundraising staff, which is, David wrote a great blog post, which we'll link to and encourage you to read. But yeah, what's making it in your space at this time of year, David, this topic?
Well, I wanted to write about it at the start of the year, calendar year, because I was somewhat startled, not completely surprised, definitely startled by the AFP report that was published in the, I think, the last quarter of 2019, where the Association of Fundraising Professionals did a very large survey with the Gallup organization and found that in the fundraising profession, half of those that they surveyed said they would be leaving their jobs in the next 2 years.
Whew.
And yeah, that's 50% turnover. Mm-hmm. So I was imagining, like, when I led a fundraising team, like having half of my staff will depart in the disruption that would cause, just with donors, with the organization, with me as a leader. I mean, you know, just to be completely self-serving about it. I mean, when you're the boss and you got half your, you know, you got people flying out the door, your life becomes miserable. Yeah. So anyway.
And it's always, I mean, in every industry, it's challenging. And I think, you know, it's particularly an issue for us as fundraisers, because relationships are the core of everything we do. And for donors to, you know, constantly be having to shift and create that kind of really intimate, you know, relationship where somebody really understands you and your motivations and what you want to create in the world and your dreams, you know, around philanthropy, it's very jarring. So
yes. I also love your article at this time too, David, because it's like, you know, it's the beginning of a year. It's a chance to sort of look back and say, okay, what do I want to do differently? What needs to be done differently? What do I want this year to look like? And if the answer is, I want to retain my fundraisers, what do I need to do differently?
Yes. Right. And let's hope that's the answer. I mean, you know, at least some of them.
True. Yeah. It's kind of like what was coming up as you guys were sharing for me was, it's kind of like surfing or body surfing in the ocean. Like, you know the wave's coming and you want to get out in front of it so you can catch that wave, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do not want to be knocked over by that wave.
So, I hope 2020 is a year to get out in front of the wave. I love
you
that.
You want to, all right, if you're a leader out there, this wave is coming. Yeah. So you might as well get out in front of it and ride it.
So one of the interesting things that I found from reading your article, David, was how there's like this disconnect, you know, between sort of what organizations and leaders think is the reason people are leaving and why they're leaving. And I thought you referenced a book in that. So why don't you kind of give us the five reasons that are most obvious?
So yeah, the book I reference in the blog post is by Lee Branham, who's done one of the most comprehensive, has done some of the most comprehensive research as to why people leave. So of course, most people who leave say it's about the money. And when they, and most bosses will fool themselves into thinking that that's the reason. Oh, I'm leaving because there's more money. And often it's true, but there are some other underlying reasons that Lee identified in her work of surveying, I don't know, something like almost 20,000 people, right? And the when you peel back the first layer of the onion, what you get is some other causes or rationales. And I'll just go through them here. They're in the article, but too little coaching and feedback. So it's one of the reasons why we train leaders, nonprofit leaders in the art of coaching. Too few growth and advancement opportunities. Workers feel devalued and unrecognized. I think we're going to talk a little bit about that here in the podcast. Workers suffer from stress due to overwork and work-life imbalance. Another reason why people hire us as coaches. And in the nonprofit world, especially in the field of fundraising, you know, the drive to raise more money and work endless hours never ceases. And finally, there's a loss of trust and confidence in the senior leadership. So those are the factors that are underneath the patina of leaving for more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that devalued and unrecognized worker, I see that all the time in my coaching. People aren't sure. And it also reaches back into the too little feedback, right? I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. I never get any words of encouragement. Am I heading in the right direction? How do I know, right? And those can really lead to uncertainty. And I have had clients who say, I really like where I work. I love my team. I love what I do. But I think I'm going to look around a little bit. And I might not take it, even if I look around, but then I can come back and say, hey, I got this offer. And maybe they'll let me know that they value me a bit more. Maybe I'll seem more valuable. Mm-hmm. And it just, it hurts me to hear that, because we should be living in a working world where people really feel like they're appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It means a lot.
Yeah. I think we, you know, we see a lot like fundraising organizations they pay a lot of attention to external relationships, and there's a lot of celebration of gifts and donors, which of course is important.
Yes.
But we need both, you know, it has to be a yes and. We need to be celebrating the success and the external relationships, and we also need to be appreciating. And it doesn't take much, you know, like that's the thing. This isn't a lot of time, and it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
You know, to acknowledge and appreciate your team.
Right. And there is a way of acknowledging and appreciating people that do frontline fundraising work, or that do prospect research work, or that do gift processing, right? Another thing that goes very overlooked, gift processing, right? Turn the crank.
Right. You know? Yeah. I want to go back to something you just said, Janice. You said it doesn't take time. It does in a way, because it takes sort of a commitment to slowing down a little bit and noticing to appreciate. I mean, milliseconds, right? Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
But we're so often we are go, 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 on to the next thing. Great. You know, let's move on. That's fantastic. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But just
gift.
Slow down. Woo! Yeah, okay. Got the gift. Right.
What do we
but
do next?
Slow down and say, wow, Janice, you really worked hard for that relationship. And that gift means a lot to this organization. Thank you for your hard work.
Yeah. And I love what David's bringing in, which is making sure everybody on the team gets recognized.
Yes.
Because if anyone is recognized, and I come as a prospect researcher, you know, I come from that background. It often is the frontline fundraiser who is recognized. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole suite of other people who made that happen, who may not be.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, we do work in all of our programs, our training programs on acknowledgement. It's a bigger topic than we can cover here in the podcast. But let's just say, like, there's one thing to compliment someone on something they've done. It's another thing to really see people for who they are. And there's a way of acknowledging that we actually train leaders how to do it. It's not intuitive. It's not something that you would normally know how to do. And so mm-hmm. it's just a missing that mm-hmm. you don't come up, you don't learn how to do it. So we've actually, you know, in all our coaching programs, our leadership programs, we actually show and teach people how to do that. It makes a world of difference when you actually see people for who they are and you actually verbalize that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can really help change a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love how, I mean, we've been focused, like, I think this is like an injection, like you can inject more mm-hmm. acknowledgement and appreciation. And then let's talk about, there's some stuff you want to remove as well. From
Yeah, that's good. It's like essentialism, right? We're going to say yes to acknowledgement and appreciation. And what are we going to say no to? So in the article, and again, in our training around creating cultures of integrity and candor, we do a lot of work about ending gossip. And this is also something that comes from our leadership tribe called the Conscious Leadership Tribe, Michelle. And this is the thing that's one of the hardest, it's one of the hardest things for leaders and managers to actually practice themselves and to implement on their teams and in their organizations.
Yeah. When people are engaging in gossip on a regular basis, it sort of poisons the whole organization. And it's hard to get that poison out when it's part of the interaction that people do on an everyday basis. It's also something, and David, you had mentioned this to me earlier, that it's something that we're hardwired to do.
Yeah.
Right? We're hardwired to gossip.
Yeah.
And it can become really toxic. It doesn't serve a positive environment. So if we're aware of how we're talking about others and making sure we talk about others in a positive light, that can really shift the organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what you say, Michelle. Like I could imagine, I mean, can you imagine if whenever someone comes and pokes their head in your cubicle or your door and they just start to say, oh, you know, so-and-so did this and it was really great. And, or, you know, they just say positive things. I know this is like, you know, many of you listening are going to think like, this is fairyland. And yes, it seems that way because there are very few organizations that actually take this on. And those are the ones that do really well, by the way.
Yeah. I think it's one of the sort of antidotes, I think, to gossip is candor, like really creating a culture where when there is something that somebody's doing something that's having an impact on you, that is, you know, like maybe it's unintended, usually it's an unintended sort of impact, but it's affecting your ability to do your work, you know, or just the way you feel about the relationship. You know, we all love the book Radical Candor. And, you know, that's something we bring a lot into our work is, like, how do you actually create a culture where instead of going, you know, like, if I have a problem with Michelle, I'm not going to David and talking about Michelle. I'm actually taking responsibility, you know, pulling up my pants and saying, I got to go talk to Michelle and tell her, you know, what is happening. And then I also have to be, you know, curious and open and do it in a very loving way, you know, so that we can actually move past and have a better relationship in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how you say curious and open, because there is a lightness that we can bring into this as leaders, a lightness into the candor, in being curious and open to what's going on rather than judgmental, right, mm-hmm. and demanding. And that can also help to slowly over time build a culture where play is allowed and enjoyment and laughter and a little bit of a lighter touch. And that's so important in our daily life, to have that kind of enjoyment and also to be told the truth and know that there's nobody talking behind our backs and, you know.
Yeah.
There's an openness.
What I've come to realize is that life just isn't all that serious.
Yeah.
It just isn't. If you could take it that way, and I've been part of teams and organizations that were, that was very much the culture. And I really believe, like, I used to take things, you know, super seriously. And now I realize, like, wow, everything's just a game that you're playing. And if you think about it that way, you can really derive quite a bit of enjoyment and create a culture of joy and laughter and improvisation and play and still get the job done.
Yes.
But that's, you know, I value that, like, that we can just take those, you know, 5 minutes to be in a playful mood, to be laughing together, and what a cool story, you know. And yeah, that builds more trust, more connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, so take some of the serious stuff that you're doing and build some play and some laughter and some connection into it. It really adds a lot to a person's experience at their job. And if they're thinking of leaving and they're having too much fun, they're not going to leave. They're feeling appreciated and having a good time. Yeah, and getting great work done. I'm not letting that go either, but yeah, getting the work done.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Right. Like, you can think of it as the game of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and I like when I think about places I worked that were fun, I was so much more productive, creative, energized. Like, it's just so much easier to do a great job when you actually enjoy the people you work with and are having fun. And you look forward, like, you wake up in the morning and you want to go, you know, to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was reflecting upon what you said earlier, Janice, about radical candor, which you that's Kim Scott's work that you introduced us, and now we bring that into organizations. But that model is one where you care personally and challenge directly. And I was thinking about our conversation a couple of days ago, when you weren't feeling so well, and I was picking up on that vibe. This is something else that we also work with leaders on, intuition. So my intuition was like, oh, something's off here. And I said, I don't know. There's something not right. I'm taking it personally, right? I said something like that. Like, what's going on, Janice? Because I could tell you aren't your usual vivacious self. So in a way, I was being candid with you. And I spoke with you about it later after our meeting, which Michelle was on that call. And I said, really, it was not that I was taking it personally, but I was feeling it like personally. And then you clarified that, yeah, you were kind of off. Your health was a little bit off that day. So
yeah
you could just have a conversation like that.
Yeah.
It's intimate. Yeah. It's intimate. You know, you work with people all the time. And when they're off, it's like you feel it, you sense it.
You do.
Yeah.
So it could be like that. That creates a culture where people care personally about each other.
Yeah.
And challenge them, like, okay, was it something I said, or was it, you know, like that, right?
It was just my shingles vaccine.
Exactly. I remember when I got that shingles vaccine, I felt the same way, so I could totally empathize with you.
Oh, the joys of being over 50. So let's give people something to try, something that's going to bring a little bit more of this play and lightness into their
So we talked about this as an exercise that whether you lead a team or not, just if in your workplace, you can go around and do something we call playing the appreciation game. And the way that game is played is you could challenge yourself to, like, just go and say, what I appreciate about you is, and then whatever words come out of your mouth. Like, Michelle, what I appreciate about you today is your beatnik look, actually.
I've got a black turtleneck on and I look like a beatnik. Thank you.
You do. Which actually led to our conversation about our music, which helped us figure out that we were at the same police concert in New York City at the same time.
Well, thank you, David. What I appreciate about you is your vast knowledge and wisdom and clarity in your blog post this week. It's a great blog post. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks.
Yeah, we started off the year with a bang. It's a good one. So
I'm feeling a bit like what I appreciate about you, Janice, is your sunny, cheerful personality on this call today. Like your smile is just lighting me up. So thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. And I'll double down on that. Janice, what I appreciate about you is that quality of brightness that you bring to our partnership and your positive mental attitude. And like, I'm aware also your generosity. Like, I am aware that the three of us are going to be heading up to Toronto and we're going to be together in person in the coming weeks. And, you know, I think Michelle and I have been struggling like, oh, how are we going to pay for this? And you're like, oh, we'll just take it out of the money we're going to get from the training that we're doing up here. And so anyway, I really appreciate your generosity also.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me have a chance now.
See, this is how the game works. It's like,
yeah, we're demonstrating it for you.
Yeah,
once you get some, you want to give some.
So, David, I appreciate your eccentric humor and how when something is needed to be shifted, you just like, boom, come in with like exactly the right thing to say and surprise us and make us laugh.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And Michelle, I appreciate your like steadfastness, you know, like you really brought this year like a sense like I just know like we can count on you. And it makes me feel more confident and more excited and more energized about the work that we're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it's as easy as that.
Yeah.
And so,
I feel very emotional too. It's also very emotional.
It is like when you actually pause, slow down, as Michelle suggested, and just be with somebody and start the phrase, what I appreciate about you is, and then just without any script or pre-planning or I'm going to walk down the office and talk to Joe and tell him how much I appreciate, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, just do it spontaneously.
Yeah. And like, from the heart.
Yeah. From the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is our challenge for you to start to shift your culture and just watch what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Play the appreciation game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our first podcast of 2020. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun to play with you all.
It was. Yeah. And so just to remind the listeners, if you haven't already subscribed, we would love you to do that. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And we're going to remind you, play the appreciation game and go put it into practice.